Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And we're about to get started. Gonna upload, date a few people and let them know that we're here. But go ahead, before we get started, and like, share. I'm still like recovering from that. I made the really wrong mistake of taking a shot of Jamaican rum before we got the show started. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm not coping well right now. But before we get started, like, share, please subscribe to our channel. We are 100% self-funded, no lizard people, no Illuminati. And we strongly encourage, strongly depend on your help and support.
So we're going to go to our... We didn't even post it on our Instagram, Bella.
Oh, I thought that's what you were doing.
I did it on mine. So hold on one second. Hey, guys. We're live on YouTube. We have a great show today. Come by. Bella and I just took a shot before getting on, which was not the best idea. But yeah, come by. Come by. So, guys. Angel, our amazing producer, editor, and chief, decided to give us a shot, and it was quite interesting. It was 63% alcohol, right? What is it?
I don't know if I would describe that as interesting, bro. That is not the word that I would use to describe whatever.
Right here
for the people?
Maybe I'll take another one. Who knows? It's been a crazy
week. Let's leave this here. It has been a crazy week.
They can get some free ad space. I'm wearing this jacket because I was at my mom's house. I slept over. And then I was supposed to go home earlier to change and do the whole thing. But Bella lives closer to my mom. So I was like, I'm just going to go to your place. We can organize the podcast, the whole thing. And
I'm in an igloo.
And then I saw this in the back of the car and I was like, it's just going to be my outfit today. I didn't bring a lot of clothes. I have mostly sports clothes. So this is it, guys. This is what I'm wearing today. It's warm. It's delicious. Hi, guys. Hi, Reina. Hi, Miguel. Hi, everyone that's here. Let's wait
did
for
you
a few more people.
No, we haven't. And I was like, did you guys comieron?
No,
not even a little bit. No sé qué decirte. Esto es un desastre.
Somebody asked, why am I particularly white? Because I'm a white Latina. We have whites. We have blacks. And we have the mixture indigenous. And then we have the mixture of the three, which is mulattoes. You know, like mixed people. So it's crazy because...
Linda can't be
I
racist.
Actually,
Linda can't be racist.
I can't actually be racist.
Because she's...
Even though my skin is white, the reality is that I'm an Afro-Latina. And this is very important for people to understand, especially those who accuse me of having a BBL. Because that is racism on itself. That in itself is racism. Because my skin is whiter than other Latinos, then you think that I'm not actually an Afro-Latina and accuse me of getting surgery to look like an Afro-Latina. Do you understand? So that is... I'm whiter also because my grandfather was more on the German side. Seriously. We also got a lot of Spanish.
A lot of Spanish.
A lot of Spanish.
I got a lot of Spanish.
But the thing is, like, the way that Colombians' families look, the same as, like, if you guys saw Encanto, I think you talk about that often. If you watch Encanto, the way that Colombians' family look is just like
so
that.
Diverse.
It's like you got the brown.
You have somebody that looks like white, right. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and you've got somebody that's like mulatto. Then you've got it's the entire eclectic mix that you see in a Colombian family. It's so diverse.
You got super white, blue, like green eyes, blue eyes people. You got people like me. You also got like, I get actually really dark in the summer. Like when I tan a lot, I roll a bit a lot. I got a lot of sun. I tan a lot. Adam, thank you so much.
Adam says, let's kick things off.
Ladies, leveling up my support because F the lizard people. Thank you so much. Once again, guys, we are not sponsored by lizard people. We are not our self-funded and your contributions on the super chat, help us pay for the studio, help us pay for Angel, keep the show going. Obviously, we want to grow it and be able to live stream at least 2 to 3 times a week. So that would be amazing. We're going to do a Q&A at the end. And actually, we're going to do calls today, right, Angel? Phone calls? Not right now. Yes.
No, not now, but a little bit later, we're going to open it up.
Didn't Adam send us the books too? Yes, Adam sent us the books, correct.
Thank you so much, Adam, for the books that you sent over. I was so happy to get that in the mail. So happy. It was so thoughtful, and we appreciate you so much. Thank you for that. So, guys, where are we starting today?
So I think we're going to cover a few topics that maybe some of you have seen in the mainstream. Maybe some of you guys have not seen in the mainstream. I think a big one right now is there is a big public fight and back and forth with the Daily Wire and who is the home of Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, and many other talented individuals in the conservative movement. And then you have Crowder. Steve Crowder, he used to work for the Blaze Media, also a very talented individual, has been in the game for a very long time. And so that is one of the stories that we're going to talk about. We're also going to cover the LGBT activist couple. God, I forgot the state right now. I forgot which state they're from, but basically they adopted, they had two adopted children and they ended up sexually abusing these children. Everything came out. So that's another story, very disturbing, but must be talked about, especially because they have finessed their LGBT lifestyle status, whatever you want to call it, alternative lifestyle, to kind of finesse and get past the adoption laws and get faster access to children. So that's very important to talk about. We haven't been able to discover which agency provided or gave the kids to this couple. We're also going to discuss, what was the other thing that we were going to discuss? I'm so sorry.
Oh, and of course, our overlords at the World Economic Forum are once again hosting their yearly lizard people meeting. Their yearly lizard people meeting discuss how it is that they're going to rule over us for the next year and incoming. What atrocities they have planned for us. A big shout out to David Berg. Thank you so much. Truly understanding the necessity of the independent journalist. David Berg says, thank you for everything you both do. I'm a Spaniard that is now a panhandle Florida man. Found Linda when she dragged woke ass on the Vice panel. And I remember her prophetic tweets in 2019 medical tyranny and everything else that's come true.
I'm screenshotting this.
Why is this people on YouTube? Yeah. Screenshot that. David, thank you so much. What part of Spain are you from? My husband's from Spain.
Sorry, guys. My hair is also a mess.
No, we're going to get it together. We're going to get it together.
We have everything together. Just my appearance is a little bit crazy today.
Yeah, we got a fun show to talk to you. Okay, so let's talk about the Steve Crowder. Somebody said that they're tired of the beef. He recorded the call for a reason. All right, so like we mentioned, for those of you that are unaware, Steve Crowder, conservative content creator, was just basically went on his YouTube, took to his YouTube channel to share the story about how he had been made an offer via contract with one of the big conservative media companies. And that he felt that there was a predatory practice that was going on with the contracts. So basically, amongst the things that he exposed was, you know, if you miss one of your contractual duties, they make deductions of fines that are range anywhere from $10,000 to $1 million.
Yeah.
And it basically brings awareness. But more importantly, one of his biggest concerns is that these companies, as part of their contract, we're going to basically find the conservatives that were under contract if they became demonetized on their platforms. So with Steve's take on it, it's like, well, in that situation, you're bending your knee to the mob because they want to cancel us, they want to demonetize us, and you're rewarding that behavior by also punishing your creators, if you will, for being, you know, demonetized and attacked by these liberal media companies, by these liberal big tech companies. So he shared that story with us. And then yesterday, last night, the Daily Wire, the CEO of the Daily Wire, Steve, what's his last name?
Jeremy Bowen.
Yeah. So he goes on and he does a response video where basically he explains from a very business-oriented perspective that I can totally understand. Says, well, you know, it was us that he was talking about because he never stated what company it was, but the Daily Wire responded and took credit and said that the contract had been theirs. He responds and they basically say that it's like, well, you know, we're paying him $50 million. I don't think that Crowder had ever stated how much the contract was for in his video.
I don't think he did. But what he did show was the screenshots of what he thought or said were the predatory stipulations for creators or for himself. And at first, I think when we first saw it, we were pretty much 100% on board with what he was saying, because it's kind of like what Kanye was saying. And I told Bella, I said, you know, I have a feeling this is a Daily Wire, and it was a Daily Wire. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of money. They're big. They're successful. They're trying to monopolize the conservative, I guess you'd say, media stars or whatever you want to call it. Can't hate on it. It's all legal. But the reality is that a lot of times these contracts are predatory. And it's exactly what Kanye West was saying about the music industry. They find young talent and they know how to exploit them. And then the outsiders, people like us, oh, well, you know, they're still rich. They're still getting $50 million. Now, with this, I think it's a little bit different because their platform is based just on these platforms, like on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram. Like, that's really where they're getting the majority of the money from ad spend, and also views, right? You get paid right per views. So, you know, my opinion at first, or when I first saw that the first video, was like, typical Daily Wire, or like, not just Daily Wire, but like typical, like, predatory managers or lawyers and contracts. Like, I'm not surprised. And I completely see where Crowder is coming from. But then here comes the Daily Wire with their response.
Right. Which so is what? The Daily Wire basically responds that basically what they've done is that they've itemized every expectation that they have of him creating content. So how many podcast episodes are expected? How many, like, special projects? How many behind the scenes? How much of the like virtual online content? How many appearances? And they've attached a monetary value to each one of these itemized items. And the way that they see it, it's like, well, you know, if you fail to give one of these deliverables, then we're just going to deduct from this rather large sum of money. $50 million, we can agree, is a lot of money. And in fact, the Daily Wire said that they didn't expect Steve to take this at the $50 million, that they expected the negotiations to actually end up costing closer to $100 million. So it's a significant crazy amount of money. So you can understand, as a company, they want their deliverables, right?
Yeah, their investment, their ROI. If I'm
contacting you to do X, Y, Z, and you're only doing X and Y, then I shouldn't have to pay you for Z. And that part is understandable. And when they first, even when they made the argument about the deplatforming, it's like, well, they take ownership of your monetized platforms, basically, when you're with the Daily, part of the contract is when they take the Daily Wire. So your monetization on these platforms becomes the Daily Wire's compensation, if you will, for taking you on and making this investment into you. So in their head, they're like, well, you know, you go from making $2 an episode, you make a contract with us, you keep a dollar, we keep a dollar. But if you get demonetized, how is it fair that you still get your dollar and we don't get ours? That's kind of the thought process behind the Daily Wire.
Right. Their whole thing was that they would demonetize, or no, they would kind of penalize, monetarily penalize the creator, in this case, Steven Crowder, if he was... you know, they got banned from YouTube or penalized, whatever you want to call it. When Steve Crowder responds back today is the video, the last video, it's been like a back and forth of videos. When he responded back today, the first thing he said was that there was no talk. Like, he wasn't complaining about the money at all. Like, in fact, the last time he called Jeremy, he did not say anything about this is not fair, you know, this is too little or whatever. I don't really know if that's true or not. I don't really know if, you know, his intentions were to get more money. But that was his thing. His thing is not about the money. It's about the younger creators. It's about the future. It's about setting up for big tech. It's about you having the back of these creators. And there is a clip that we want to play. Yeah. There's a clip that we want to play, the first clip. And this is the CEO of the Daily Wire. We're going to play this clip. And you guys are going to tell us in the comments what you think of this clip. And then we'll tell you what we think.
Yeah.
So play the first clip, please.
Conservative creators, on behalf of the people we claim to fight and the people who have long since demonetized us and can't stand me, and part of me doesn't blame them. Yeah. As long as these contracts include that, not even for me, but the next person, I wouldn't take $1 billion. And certainly not if you understand in context, when behind closed doors, I know, and these people know, and acknowledge exactly what's being done to the next generation of creators.
Bench talent, young talent, they don't get deals like this.
So they don't get deals that...
They can be wage slaves for a little bit, come over and make a salary and grow their brand.
That you then own.
Well, I own parts of it. I don't own it. They can, when their contract's up, they can still go out and they'll still be famous. They can keep doing their shows. So go do a show somewhere else. They'll be in a far, far, far better place. You helped make them.
No, not long about this contract. This contract owns it in perpetuity even after the contract. You're paying a lease but getting ownership. That's what this contract reads.
Yeah. So I see that in the comments you guys are saying that Tim Cass is live and Candace Owens with Candace Owens regarding the situation. And then Candace Owens literally made Steven's point about young creators being preyed upon on Tim Cass tonight. She said if this was 7 years ago, she couldn't afford a lawyer. That's a problem. That is literally the problem. And that is the problem why I do not work with organizations. And I've turned on a lot of stuff like, oh, we're going to invite you here and there, like whatever. And like, yeah, sure. Like I've even taken a break from posting a lot on my Instagram and doing what I used to do. Somebody mentioned I used to have a YouTube channel. Like I used to do a lot more stuff. I didn't. Just things happen, whatever. The focus was COVID and like things changed like drastically. But what I have seen personally is that these organizations do take advantage of young creators. They do. A lot of these organizations are built with creators, with influencers who propagate and who spread their message, right? In unison, like, let's talk, like, whatever, like, their clips and stuff like that. And they pay them nothing. They pay them crap. Even big influencers, I know for a fact, personally, somebody that I know, an influencer, over 100, almost 400,000 followers on Instagram, he was asked to be on a campaign, I'm not going to say what, a campaign video, I'm not going to say for who, for what politician, for nothing. He said, okay, sure. They didn't pay him anything. And you may say, well, he's an idiot. He didn't know any better. A lot of times you don't know any better. You've never been in the industry. You've never done stuff like this. There's no one there to guide you. Right. It wasn't until he told a friend that was in the industry that, or like, it was actually a family member. He's like, oh, you know, I'm in this campaign video, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, well, how much do they pay you? And they're like, nothing. He's like, so you went out there to a studio to record a video for this guy that has raised millions of dollars, and they couldn't pay the talent. They couldn't even pay you $500. You should have been paid at least $3,500. So they do this all the time. They ask you to share content for free all the time, these organizations. I've had conversations with them. So in terms of stuff like that, it's not, again, not saying the Daily Wire is completely wrong, not saying anything about credit, but I personally know that they do take advantage of young creators, for a fact.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that when I first saw the video response of the Daily Wire, I understood it. I'm like, okay, from a business perspective, that does make sense. You know, this amount of money, they're going to deduct this. But then I saw his response. And as content creators, I did resonate with it. You know, he makes a comment in the video where he says, I'm never going to be the guy that pulls up the ladder on my way up. He wants to help other content creators. And I think that he really could have taken the $50 million and never talked about
this
before.
It's $50 million.
Nobody would have known about it. Nobody would have had to talk about it. It wouldn't have been like news, mainstream news like it is right now. And he turned that down to make the statement. And the statement was that there needs to be a change to these contracts that doesn't reward big tech for punishing content creators for speaking truth. And what he's doing is that he's setting the standard. Because it's kind of like when Kanye said, when Ye made the comment, you know, if they're doing this to me, the most successful black rapper in history, how do you think they do you guys? And it's very much that kind of, if they can pass this off with a big name Like Steve, is it Crowder or
Crowder?
Like Steve Crowder, if they can pass off a big name like Steve Crowder, and you know, pass this on to him. Not to say that I don't understand from a business practice that it's not necessarily unreasonable, but the truth of the matter is that if they're bringing him on board, is because they're set to make a lot more money than what they're paying off to him. So realistically, how much money could you be making from the monetization of these public platforms that you need to punish the content creator for it? And I think that what he's doing is that he's setting a standard for the rest of content creators and the other contracts for other individuals. Shit, like us, for example, if you know, when a situation like that arises, mm-hmm. that you'll be able to have something that's fair and that doesn't tie your individual success and contribution doesn't leave it at the mercy of big tech.
Yeah, but I don't see why it's a snake ass shit to record a phone call when, like, it literally, at least right now, because the Daily Wire did make it seem that it was just about the money. And at least now, like, we see the other side. Like, we're literally seeing that the guy in this video just said that, yeah, they give young creators with 500,000 slave subscribers, wages. Which is a lot of subscribers, slave wages, and then they'll take their brand. So if we didn't hear that directly from Jeremy, we're just going to sit here and say that Crowder is a bitter creator, diva.
That wasn't happy with just
50 million and was trying to grift off, you know, the Daily Wire. Now, by the way, I don't watch Crowder, like, nothing against him. I'm just not one of his subscribers, followers. Like, he has a really good base. I watched his videos, so this isn't, like, a defense for Crowder. We're not in the business of that. We're just trying to, you know, give our point of view and also, like, tell you guys the story. But that's that. I mean, let's see what happens. Let's see what Candace Owens said. We'll probably go see it after.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what I think that it's a leap forward for content creators in setting, because conservative content creators do not get the same level of respect mm-hmm. that, you know, normal content creators would on a platform. So we need to be looking out for each other. So it does make sense where it's like, come
on, guys. What's 50 million divided by four? It's not 25. No,
12.5.
Okay, so he was gonna get 12.5 million a year. Still a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And that's kind of what he says in his statement, where he's like, well, you know, I just turned down $50 million because this is something that I genuinely believe in.
Right.
Personally, I do hope that he opens up his own media company. And that
there should be more competition.
We need to have more options
we discussed
and high production value that goes into
conservative,
you know,
media.
Conservatives.
And we discussed when the whole Kanye West thing was going on, how, you know, Ben Shapiro reacted to Candace Owens. I still think that it was good that they kind of let her have her own opinion and whatnot, but it was difficult time. Like, you just tell that there was like tension in the air because of who the owners are and how they wanted Candace to react to the situation based on their actual personal beliefs. But that's that, guys, with the Crowder situation. We did want to know.
Speaking of Crowder and the situation of being self-funded, so can we get a little clap? Can we get a little clap on the soundboard?
Clap, clap.
So we think that we found our first sponsor.
Yay.
And they're not lizard
guys,
people. No,
they're not
Illuminati.
So we may have our first sponsor, guys. I don't know why my little... So we've been approached by Century Water. Century Wellness System. And they are a Patriot-owned company. Before that, we were already looking personally for our own water filters because we are those paranoid people that know what's in the water, including fluoride, including arsenic. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm. Arsenic.
Arsenic. All these different things that are very...
Latinas trying to figure out the word.
Yeah, very toxic for us. And we also started hearing how now that they're going to start giving the abortion pill, you know how they're going to start giving over the counter the abortion pill,
yeah,
like
CVS
Walgreens
just got
CVS.
The okay to be able CVS and Walgreens both got the okay to start selling the abortion pill over the yeah. counter, meaning that there's yeah. no control over it now. People are going to be able to walk in and take them like tic tacs as they want.
Right. So and, obviously, right. like, if you start taking abortion pills and you start having abortions in your home, where is the waste of that baby going? Into the water, into the sewage system, into our water. So highly paranoid of possibly, you know, having maybe human remains.
Even, like, we don't know what like, it does.
We don't,
like,
we don't know. We just don't know.
Like, what the repercussions of it right. were, aside from all the other stuff.
And also, like, all the medicine. Like, I never thought about this. And people were like, oh, like, when you throw away medicine, like, where do you think it goes? And I was like, holy shit, like, that's true. A lot of people just dump and, like, empty their medicines, like, something that goes bad or they want to get rid of, like, literally in the toilet. So, yeah, we are looking into this. We had a conversation, so...
Well, we want to make sure first, which is why we're not automatically just coming out and saying that we have a sponsor.
Right.
But we just got... I just got the product in the mail. Right. Linda hasn't gotten it yet, but we're really excited. We had gotten approached by a couple of other companies where we didn't necessarily feel that it was, like, relative or that it right. resonated to what we were doing. We really wanted to make sure that if we brought on a sponsor, that it was going to be something that we truly believed in and that we wanted to share with you guys. And I don't know if you guys have looked at some of these, like, water filtration systems that, you know, that remove fluoride from the water, which is, I would think, the main concern that so many people have, including me. And they tend to be pretty expensive, a couple of thousand dollars. So one of the best things about this product is that it's also affordable.
Affordable.
It's very small, so it doesn't take up a lot of space. But we're going to hold off, and we're going to let you guys know or maybe we just won't talk about it. If you don't hear us talk about it anymore, then that's because we didn't necessarily like the product. Yeah. But if it
we
is,
are gonna
if
it try is it out. Fruit,
we're really excited because we think that this is the one, guys. We think that this is going to be our first sponsor. So we're excited. We will have a coupon code for you guys. Just give us until next week, and then we'll be able to give you guys a little bit more information on not just the product, but specifically the kind of experience that we had. I drink nothing but water, and sometimes right. Jamaican rum, apparently. But I drink nothing but water, so I'm definitely going to be the best. I'm definitely a good, what do you call it? Like a test
experiment,
subject.
Yeah,
experimental
absolutely.
Test subject, if you will, for the product. But super stoked.
We'll let you guys know the
exactly
the
how
deal.
It is that goes.
But now, moving on to clearing your water
from fluoride and all the other stuff that the lizard people put into our drinking water, let's discuss what's going on in Davos. Once again, the World Economic Forum is going on, and our overlords are once again getting together to discuss
our future.
what future. Plans they have for us. Our it's future. Like they're writing. I remember those movies. What were the movies with the little clown on the bike? Was it Saw?
Saw movies? Yeah.
It's like, you know how they have to go through like all these tests and awful things that they get hurt in the process, and it puts them through all these tests. I feel like that's what they plan out during the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
Like, let's raise eggs to $8. Let's make sure they run out of toilet paper. Like, I feel like that's the kind of stuff that like they plan out while they're out there trying to like mess with our heads or whatnot.
Yeah.
But
what were the I kind of saw some of the clips. Wait, who is that? Oh, Splendid Savage Podcast. Hi. Wait, what were the...
Hey, local friend.
I can't find, for some reason, I can't find our notes.
You can't find our notes? Well, we have a video, right?
We have a
so
video.
So everybody always wonders, and I love when people call us conspiracy theorists because, first of all, you believe in lizard people? Calm down, guys. It's not a whole lizard people. They are lizard people, okay? They're freaking weird,
and they
want to rule over us, okay? And they think that they have absolute control. So when people call us conspiracy theorists, in fact, Elon Musk put out this tweet in regards to the meeting today, where he says, and hold on, Angel's bringing that up. Angel might have had a couple of shots of Jamaican rum too before we got started.
also.
So the WEF is increasingly becoming an unelected world government that the people never asked for and don't want. And boy, is that accurate. We don't want you guys. We never elected you. But of course, you go down the comments of this and it's a bunch of liberals losing their mind, calling Elon a conspiracy theorist, and that's not what they do, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But let's not hear it from Elon. Let's hear it from head lizard person Charles Schwab, who had this to say while at
Let's
yesterday's meeting.
Also be clear, the future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the states of the world, but two conditions are necessary. The first one is that we act all as stakeholders of larger communities, that we serve not our only self-interests, but we serve the community. That's what we call stakeholder responsibility. And second, that we collaborate. And this is the reason why you find many opportunities here during the meeting to engage into very action and impact-oriented initiatives to make progress related to specific issues on the global agenda.
Bruh, did you guys hear this dude? He straight up says, us elite people here in this room, we are the ones that are going to make up the rules. We are the ones that are going to rule over you. And am I going to mute this at any point? Shit, sorry about that. Bro, this guy's straight up telling you we rule over you. Everyone else. And that's just like the most mild clip that we found from the Economic Forum. They've gone on all sorts of tangents where they don't even give shit to like even hide the fact that they're trying to control us. They do not hide these things. And it's so terrifying because I almost feel like it's escalating.
They tell us.
And it's boiling frog. Right? It's boiling frog syndrome. For those of you that are unaware, boiling frog is basically a method of getting people to become comfortable with the unimaginable. The idea is that if you put a frog in cold water and then slowly raise the temperature on it, they'll cook to death because they're unable to sense the danger because you're gradually increasing the temperature. And this is boiling frog. We've really gotten to a point where we're so desensitized where freaking a T-Rex person here, Schwab, T-Rex Schwab, can go on live television in front of all these powerful people with the entire world watching and tell you, we, the powerful people of this room, are the ones that are going to rule over you. And then he goes on to say in another clip how we are the problem, how the problem are us regular peons that oppose them. They had Joe Machine was also quoted. Joe Machine made a comment along the lines that one of the biggest dangers that they had were independent journalists, because independent journalists, you know, alternative media like us, regular people posting our content on the internet, just trying to share what it is that we have, that these independent journalists were causing a great damage because they were controlling the narrative with false and extreme information and therefore give the impression that the majority of people think like this. No, Joe, the majority of the people do think like this. It has nothing to do with me or Linda and our 5.4k followers on YouTube that making people see the reality of that. So that's part of what's going on. So tell us a little bit, guys. Oh, well, let's take a moment to thank Scott Patriot, bro. He says, my first time able to listen in 2023.
Thank you so much. One,
so I'll make up for it. Love listening to you gals. Peace from snowy and cold Minnesota. So sorry, Scott. We can't relate. Not only because we're in Florida and it's actually really hot here.
Not like me.
But if you get yourself a bottle of this Jamaican rum right here. And you know what? Can we get this as a sponsor? Yeah, dude. I truly believe in this product.
Dude, that product is crazy.
Oh, it's. I can't. I'm still recovering from the one shot that we took.
For real.
Fam, what do you have to say about the lizard people coming together in Davos this week to do their thing?
Are you asking them or are you asking me?
I'm asking
me?
You.
Oh, okay, because you said fam. And I was like, are you talking to them or are you talking to me? Honestly, I've never been one of those people that overreacts when any heads of states goes to these type of events, because I feel like I would go and I would lay down the law, kind of like what Vladimir does and Trump used to do. I think that they want to be, it's like, it's exactly what Elon Musk says. They're an unelected body of government. They know who to talk to so that whatever policies they want to come to the US, Canada, they know who to talk to. They know who to go to. I think it's actually hilarious. I saw Alex Soros from the Soros dynasty post a picture with a woman. She is from Ukraine. She's like a some sort of like peace ambassador or whatever. And he's like, oh, this is like the most important picture that I have. And, you know, then he's like showing like the Russian war crimes, like propaganda, like an entire propaganda stage house. It's called the Russian House of Crimes. They have it again. They had it last year. And I think the year before, or last year when the war first started. And I just think, you know, at that moment, I don't talk about the war anymore because I got tired of being called a Putin apologist and Putin's bombing kids and Ukraine is good and Putin's bad. So just pointless. I'm not Russian. I'm not Ukrainian. I don't care. But I will tell you this. I think it's really crazy how people would look at that collage that Soros's son made, Alex Soros, with everything that's going on in Ukraine, all this stuff. At the World Economic Forum, he's showing off his entire squad, everybody that he controls. Literally, he's showing them off.
These are my peons.
These are my peons. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, do the people not see it? Do people just are like, is it just like a, we have to hate Putin? Because I get it, but I also don't. Like, how could you think that all these people being on the side of Ukraine and how could you think that everything that they say is truthful, number one? How could you think that everything that you've heard is truthful, too? And how could you just call the rest of us Putin apologists and cry if oh, shit, that looks pretty bad. Sorry, the table. When you see how much they lie, but I don't think we'll ever get to the, I think we're going to get to the point where they will try to take away meat, and that's for sure. I think that's coming on the pipeline. I think the war on meat is, I think the war on meat is just starting. I don't say that to scare people. I think it's pretty obvious that they want to get rid of meat and just completely, I wouldn't doubt if, this is my prediction. I think liberal states, California being number one, New York, we know the states that this goes to. I think those states are going to be the first ones to start taxing people on meat. And I think that's how it's going to start. Certain states are going to tax the meat more. Makes sense. They have liquor taxes, mm-hmm. right? You go to San Francisco, you pay for dinner, you have to wine, so you're going to have to pay a liquor tax. So I wouldn't doubt if that's the first method. I also think that the green agenda and the climate change agenda is the number one, the most important agenda of all times. Like, there's nothing more important than climate change to our overlords. And the reason why that is because with climate change, there's so much that you can control. So in my home city of Cali, and I don't know if I told you guys, but in my home city of Cali, there's one day now, they're imitating the same thing that they did in Paris. And basically there's one day that you're not allowed to use cars. I think it happened the first time in September. You're not allowed to use cars. The only cars, the only method of transportation are buses and public transportation. I don't know if anybody with a permit, I'm sure that rich people could pay themselves out. Police, obviously, but like you as a citizen, like you're not. And they do this because of the environment. That's what they do it for. They also do it in Paris. This is a climate change initiative. So do you see how much control they can have? It's like a mild quarantine. It's like when they told us that only essential workers could go out.
Right.
So what is to tell us that they're not going to come out with a crazy climate crisis? Like shit is burning down. Like, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, we're going to have to lock you guys down because X, Y, and Z. That's my conspiracy.
Well, that they're going to potentially lock us down again. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're going to be in this war for much longer, guys.
For way much longer. So let's make fun of it together. Absolutely. We're not going to stress this. Actually, can you please play? Wait, the thing is, I can't see. This thing closed down. Where? Can you please tell me where?
We got our funny video coming up.
Okay, that's the one that I want to play.
Yeah, good, because that's what we need. We need to laugh at this clown world together. So let's take a moment to laugh at this week's funny clip of the week.
Make sure it's the Joe Biden one.
But let's. This is
our funny representation clip of
America. The representation of America is this man right here, family. Any minute now.
So this is our friend Joe Biden with
during his run for president that he had grown up going to black churches. Look at buddy.
This is our funny clip of the week.
Oh boy's like,
you could say it's cringe, but it's also hilarious. Look at this guy. He's confused. That was actually me the first time I went to a Baptist church. This is so relatable. There was this one time I went to Corey Reeves Senior High School here in Miami. It's in a black neighborhood. And it's in a black neighborhood, I swear.
Savage just wrote that man is as useful as a screen door on a submarine and I died.
Wait. So I went to a black, like pretty much Corey had a lot of black students. And for some reason, one time they invited us to a black Baptist church. And I was like, yes, let's do it. And that was me. Like, I've never seen this before. That clip of Joe Biden was me in high school the first time I went to a Baptist church. That is our funny clip of the week. Who said that? He's lucky he didn't get struck down by, he forgot his lemon pepper. He's hilarious. I don't find him as annoying as other people, but that gets me in trouble. I get in trouble for saying that. People don't like it when I say that. So guys, the last thing we want to talk to you about is this LGBT activist couple.
But this is coming to you guys. In our new segment, we are going to have a weekly segment where we highlight a desgraciado of the week.
But wait, you have to say one
that is okay, don't speak Spanish. Well, I guess everybody doesn't speak Spanish. No. Fine. What's the definition for a desgraciado? Mm-hmm. So for all of you that are unaware on what it is that we are talking about, those of us of Latino American background grew up with La Doctora Polo. Laura, right?
Laura.
No, not Polo.
No.
Polo
is Señorita from, Laura.
Señorita Laura. And Señorita Laura was known for, she was like a talk show host, like a Jerry Springer, if you will, in Spanish, right? But she had this really famous tagline where whenever she was going to bring out like a cheater or the degenerate, it was usually a cheater, whenever she was going to bring him up, she'd be like, que salga el desgraciado.
The disgrace. That's what it is.
The disgrace
of the week.
That's what they're saying.
It's
a really powerful, much powerful word. Yeah, in Spanish. Calling somebody a desgraciado in Spanish is like, whoa, like that's like bad. It's not a bad word, but it's still pretty bad. Anyway, so our new segment on a weekly basis, and we strongly encourage you guys to highlight your own people, email us, write to us on social media, and tell us who you want us to highlight every week. Every week we will be highlighting a desgraciado of the week. Angel, can you introduce our segment?
¿Qué pasa, el desgraciado?
Oh, you give him the voice? Wait, do it again.
So this week's desgraciado of the week is the... Did we find out where the couple was out of?
No.
Were they... Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now. But continue with the story.
I thought you were going to say the story.
Oh, no, I know the story. I just don't know where they are. I know the story. I just forgot. Okay. I know the story. Figure it out where they are. So I'll tell you guys the story. I actually read the whole thing. So it's real crazy. So basically, these two LGBT activists, they adopted two children from a Christian nonprofit. And allegedly, or what the article says and the investigator says, is that they used their LGBT status, lifestyle, identification, whatever you want to call it, to get the children faster than usual, than a straight couple would get them. What that looks like, how it is, I don't know, because the article from Town Hall does not specify, not even which organization gave them the children. That's something that I really want to look into. It's not a cop, it's two activists. So these gay men were liberal activists, Biden supporters. Not that it matters if you're a Biden supporter, you're more pedophile. There's pedophiles everywhere.
I don't know. Statistics, sir.
I don't know, bro. There's a lot of fucking creeps everywhere, you know, but whatever. The point is that they were activists. So their whole thing was normalizing the LGBT, fighting for LGBT rights. Love is love. And what's really creepy, it's the amount of LGBT, how do you say, like signs, like paraphernalia, propaganda all over her house. Like the pictures that were discovered after the police released them. But first, let's take a look at that couple. Can you put them up? You got them? This is what the happy couple or allegedly happy couple look like. You guys see it there?
Allegedly.
Happy couple. These two guys, disgusting abusers, pedophiles. I don't even know if I can say that here on YouTube. I don't know how they are with the pedophiles. Are they like pro pedophile? They pretty much could be, right?
They could be. We never know.
You never know.
Don't say it too many times.
So basically, these two men right here adopted two kids. And what are some of the things that we found through this investigation that are disturbing? The first thing that we found that I just told you guys is that allegedly they use their LGBT identification and, you know, whatever you want to call it, sexuality, to adopt the children at a faster process. Okay. The second thing that these men did was that there was 2 11-year-old boys, right? They found, I don't know how many gigabytes of pictures and videos of the children doing awful things. I don't even think we could say that here either. Yeah, like, you know, just really sexual, inappropriate, disgusting, illegal, inhumane, immoral acts with children.
Haram.
Haram. Major, major haram. And also, these pedophiles were selling and pimping their kids to a network of pedophiles online, and that's how they got ratted out. The way they got ratted out was because one of the dads sent a Snapchat to one of these pedophiles online and told them, "You're gonna see, like, I'm about to go F my child." You know, you guys know what that means. I don't have to say it. And I'm gonna send it to you. And that's how this guy ratted them out to the police. And then one day they're sleeping, it's like 11 o'clock at night. The police comes, knocks them down. One of them, apparently he sleeps naked, arrested them. They completely swept, you know, swam through the house, got all the evidence. There's like, love is love. Can you put the next video, the next picture up with the, you can't see the kids' faces, but you can see the two children. And what's interesting about this picture, look at what's behind that picture. Human rights campaign. It's always these people. It's always the virtual signaling. We're oppressed. Our rights are hurting. You guys don't want to let us live. We can't get married. We can't do this. It's always these people that end up being the worst kind of human beings. It's always the people it's kind of like how they go after the El Salvadorian president, because he's running up all these MS-13 and all these criminals over and putting them in jails and being mean to them. And, you know, it's always we need to go investigate what Nayib Bukele is doing against these criminals because he is infringing in human rights violations, yada, yada, yada. It's always these people that are the worst kind of human beings. So the other stuff that was found in the house, actually, I went to their Instagram. Since they got arrested out of nowhere, which is obviously normal for this type of case, their Instagrams are still open. One of their Instagrams are still open. So Angel, if you can pop up that picture next, this is super creepy. Hold on, it's coming. And this is actually the reason why I don't agree with this love is love statement, because they say it like, oh, it's love is love because I can love another woman and man. Okay, whatever. But we know that's not where it ends. Like, I'm tired of having to pretend with these people that to them, love is love. It's just about another, the same sex attraction. It's not like that. We know that.
You have predators that are going to latch onto that. And we know, we've talked about this before on the podcast endless amount of times.
Yeah.
Love is love. You know, all is fair, you know, for going from furries to, like, you know, next thing you know is wanting to normalize bestiality. Inevitably, what it's going to get down to is, well, I identify as a child. I identify as someone that's a 14-year-old child, and therefore I'm attracted to children. And they're going to justify it. Yeah. They're going to try and pass laws to truly protect these people and convince us that we are the inhumane ones for saying, well, pedophilia is obviously bad, dude. No, they want you to feel like you're crazy. And all it takes, dude, you type in, like, pedophilia into your YouTube search bar, and the number of videos that you'll get of, like, pedophilia normalization is actually overwhelming. There's probably more videos that you scroll through in that first, you know, first couple scrolls that you're going to find are more in favor of protecting the pedophile, painting them as, what is it that they call them? Like, minor attracted people. They don't want to call them pedos anymore. They're not, what is it that they call when they don't engage? So they're not offense. They're non-offense minor attracted people, and trying any way that they can to twist the conversation to normalize what's not normal. A grown adult having an attraction to a minor child is a mental condition. That is not okay. These people are sick in the head.
Sick in the head.
You know, what really took me back about this was they had, like, phone calls of one of these dudes in jail.
Oh,
and
yes.
He's basically crying about how, oh, and I just wish that people understood and that they didn't hate us. And I don't want people to hate us. And they think all these bad things for us. It's like,
no, so here's the thing. It was a family member, a call that the family member recorded from jail from one of them. And one of the things that Zach, I think, was telling the family member was, I need people, family members, who don't hate us. So that saving to me alone is like, how many people did they screw over, including family in their life, or how many people kind of knew that they were strange people? Because like, you just know, like, family members, like, you just have a gut feeling about certain people. So with that call, he did say something like, worse things are going to come out. Like, I'm worried about the stuff that's not even known yet type of stuff. He did say worse things would come out or something along those lines. So just imagine. I love
it. They're saying in the comments that Media Matters wrote an article about this. And of course, they were calling Laura Ingraham a bigot for pointing out that the couple was gay. But they were.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the obvious thing. Their entire platform is dedicated to glorifying their sexuality.
My so other it's, problem.
It's something they feel identified by. Right. So why wouldn't the media identify them as such?
My other problem with people that are saying, oh, well, it's not a gay thing. Obviously, it's not a gay thing. Like, straight people rape kids, too. Like, we know that. That's not what this is. Just like, it's just them, the gays. It's not that. But there is this sort of denialism within society that being gay and transsexual or transgender isn't associated with sexual abuse when you're a child. And that's just unfortunate for many reasons, but also it's a false reality. The majority of people who turn out to be homosexuals or transgenders were sexually abused. Majority of people. You know who else? I just saw a video of her, her, I guess, she's fully transitioned, the Miss Universe, the new pageant owner.
For all women.
Of Miss Universe. She was sexually abused. She talked about in an interview how she had a very rough childhood and she was raped and abused. And now she's transgender. Like, there is a correlation, a very strong correlation between what happens in your childhood years and your adult and your teen years with sexual abuse and, you know, transgenderism and homosexuality. A lot of people would say, well, I knew I was gay from a very young age, when I was 5 years old, when I was 3 years old. First of all, your first memory is then to, like, you're 7 years old. Like, I literally can barely remember my childhood. Like, you don't remember. Unless it was, like, very crazy traumatic events, even then you could have, like, blurry memories. When people say, we're just born gay. Okay, what does that even mean? Because I can't find a gay gene in a person. Like, there was a study made a few years back where they studied a bunch of homosexual men, and I think women as well, to see if there was, like, something different in their DNA or whatnot, and there wasn't. So it's still a subject that I know it's uncomfortable and complicated. And again, it's not to say, oh, it's because they're gay that they rape these kids, but it is a conversation that people should be having, because maybe these people were abused when they were younger. Maybe these two pedophiles were abused, and that's what they know, right? That's what they're passing on to their children. Not an excuse, not saying anything positive about that. I don't want this to be like, you know, but like, just, you know, putting it into perspective. So that's that.
Thank you so much to our friend Stacy Valerdi, another $50 into our contribution. You guys have no idea how thankful we are. You know, Linda and I really want to make this our full time and really take Mostly Peaceful Latina, give you more content and take it to the next level and really make something special out of this, not just for us, but for all of us. So thank you so much for the support. Thank you. I think it's a good time to take some questions and some calls. Oh, and thank you, Jonathan Pacheco, for your contribution. We really appreciate you going out of the way and making the space for us. Guys, please like this video if you're in the chat, if you haven't liked it already. If you're not subscribed to our channel, please show us the support. Let's go ahead and put a call number.
What is it? Oh, but they have to call a number. Oh, never mind. We can't do that.
No, no, we can't do calls right now.
No, never mind. We'll have to. No, can we do questions if you guys want to ask some questions?
Sorry, guys. We can't.
And also, while you're here, I'm having a sale at my jewelry store.
Yes.
So if you guys, Valentine's Day is coming up. Gentlemen, there's a lot of gentlemen here. If you guys go to elsantomercado.com, I'll put it here. 25% off. You guys can get, and ladies, you too. All affordable luxury jewelry, water, tarnish resistant, hypoallergenic. So, but yeah, if you guys have any questions or anything like that, let us know before we sign out.
Where are we at, guys? Saying frustrated is PRV too tame. Hello from Maryland, big fan. Keep up the great work. Familias del Salvador. Oh, thank you. Welcome to our channel. Kind of looking through some of this. What's going on, guys?
Can we take another shot? You want to take a shot? Let's take a shot.
Oh, so bad.
Let's do it for Annabella. Literally is our number one fan. She wants a shot. I'm going to take a shot. I'll take a shot for you, Annabella.
Fine. I'm going to take it for Annabella and for Nicolas, who just said made a $5 contribution and said that he has a hangover.
Okay, so let me tell you guys what this is. This is, I've literally never seen this. I don't even know if this is legal. It doesn't look legal to me.
It sure shit doesn't taste legal.
It's Gray and Nephew. White overproof rum, guaranteed full strength.
Bro, we're working overtime for this sponsorship.
63% alcohol. Me with my sponsored rum. All right, a little bit of rum. Let's see right here. Where's the camera? Over there. Are not you too going? Much. This is probably one of the nastiest things I've ever. Oof. Reina, by the way, I didn't tell you this and I haven't told you this, but we got your Christmas card. I got your Christmas card. Thank you so much about that. And she's also asking, and we're going to talk about Ivan Provorok. So Ivan is a, you know who that is?
Pride jersey this Tuesday due to religious reasons.
Hold on. Cheers.
We only got one cup. You got to take yours first.
I'll take a little bit of this first. Hold on.
To MPL.
To MPL, to you, Annabella, for always being with us. You're amazing.
What the, you typed in Santo Mercado incorrectly, so now you gotta type that correctly, and I'll pour this out for myself. I'm not entirely sure what's going on with Ivan. Tell me. Have you heard the story?
I do know. So basically this, guys, is he what is that sport? Is he a baseball player? Or a hockey player? He's a hockey player. So this hockey player, there was like LGBT night, and they wanted him to wear the rainbow flag and this whole thing. And he basically said no because he's an Orthodox Christian.
Good for him.
He said, I'm not doing that. That's against my religion.
Have they fined him? Have they tried to punish him for it?
Not yet, but they probably will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we got another question in the chat, which says, can you guys explain a constitutional republic versus a democracy in a nutshell?
Okay. Boom. Constitutional republic like we are in the U.S.
Wait, I'm going to take this.
Oh, hold on. She's going to take it. Ready? It's not about the second time around. She's dying. She's no way she's not dying. What happened? It's so bad.
All right. Constitutional Republic versus democracy.
Constitutional Republic, which is what we have, the style of government that we have. It's like we're many countries. The states have power over the federal government. State power over the federal government. Constitutional Republic. A democracy isn't like that. It's majority rules. It's very different. I mean, we are technically in that, especially with the federal government, as you've seen Biden operate. When it comes down to state laws, it's different. What's up?
Well, that's kind of why we have the electoral. That's part of the reason why it is that we have the electoral vote. Because what does that mean? Let's say for a second that you live in a state like, I don't know. Let's say you live in Idaho. And, you know, there's just a lot of farmers and like potatoes and stuff. You know, I mean, sorry, I don't know a lot about Idaho, but let's say that that's where you live and that's your demographic, right? And clearly it's a lot more rural. So then there's probably areas where there's not as a big of a population within the state as there is in, say, a state like New York, where in the entire city of New York, where in just the city of New York City, there might be a populace that's greater than some entire counties and some states, right? So in order to avoid a majority representation, for example, a liberal living in New York deciding over what's best for a state like Iowa, what we have is, that's why we have the Electoral College. So what that means is that each state is going to be represented. That means that the vote of each particular state counts. Can you say that it counts as an actual vote? So that the state is a representation of the people because that the make population. It up. So
because imagine if not New York, LA, like those.
If we were only going based off a democracy of just population between New York City and between New York and California, those numbers would actually make decisions for the rest of the country. This is why Democrats want to get rid of the electoral vote, right, because so it works in their favor and takes away the representation from the smaller, more rural red states that have the right to elect and go through the due process of an election thinking of their own benefit. So with the constitutional republic, it takes away the power from the federal government and gives it at a state level, which is another reason why we are consistently talking to you guys about getting locally involved, because there's so much more that you can do to make effective change at a local level, because our republic is set up that way. It's not set up for decisions to come from a federal level. In fact, a conversation that recently came up was the talk about the when Lady G, Lindsey Graham, suggested that they do a federal ban on abortions. For those of you that are unaware, when Roe v. Wade was overturned, part of the reason was because that was unconstitutional from the beginning, because it gave a federal decision to something that should have been left to states. Each state should be able to determine whether or not how they feel about abortions. That's why Roe v. Wade was overturned. So when Lindsey Graham suggests, oh, well, abortion should be banned at a federal level, I don't disagree. I disagree with that. Trump disagreed with that. He got a lot of heat with that. Not because I'm not pro-life. I am very much pro-life, but because I believe in a true constitutionalist state of what our republic is supposed to look like, that those decisions should be up to each individual state.
100% sis, she nailed it. Savage, you can come on the podcast whenever. We may have a
We gotta have him on the next Miami one.
We may have a guest next week. We're gonna confirm, and then the week after maybe Ali. So we may have a guest back to back. We don't know yet because they have to confirm. It's all depending on travel. But you are more than welcome to come.
Yeah, sure. For those of you that don't follow Splendid, if you're in the Miami area, he's an amazing content creator. God. So smart, so witty, so funny.
Sorry,
and
guys,
like,
I bother
from Miami and Cuban, has got a lot of swag. So we're gonna bring him on, and maybe we and Linda have been thinking about doing a remake of the Because Miami episode that we did with El Caballo and with Josue. So maybe we'll have another Miami inspired podcast and have our friend Splendid Savage come on.
Look who's on, the real fame Sabian. Hi, Ali,
thank you so much for the contribution. She says this one's for Bella's comfy sweater, and it really is. So comfy.
It
I haven't
is.
Been
Thank
able
you
to
so
wear
much.
It.
So we may have Ali on the podcast pretty soon. We're hoping that she comes down sometime soon. We want to have you here. We're going to talk relationships, have a different type of show.
That's another one you that questions. You guys have to follow. Ali Real Femme Sapien is huge in, I think, I wouldn't just say the manosphere, but she really talks a lot about like traditional marriage values and bringing that to today's time. It's so funny because I listen to your podcast all the time. And whenever my husband walks in, I tell him, I'm learning how to be a better wife. This podcast is about me becoming a better wife. So she puts out amazing content, keeps it real, calls out women on their BS, calls out men on their BS. So if you haven't checked out her podcast, definitely agree.
Wait, someone asked me if I like the movie Encanto. I think the movie Encanto is literally the best representation that I've ever seen about Colombia. Like, it made me cry. I cry every time I watch it. I cried on the way to Colombia watching Encanto on the plane. Isn't that funny?
I love that. It was such
I think
a good
it's the
movie.
Best. I think it's, I know people have a lot of hate towards Disney, but it's still a beautiful movie. It was well done. I think the attention to details would like really shocked me, because obviously like you may know a little bit about a culture, like the Cuban culture, the American culture, but like when you are actually part of that culture, there's so many
little details
that you're like, how the hell, like when they're in the grandma's house and like everything is like very detailed, like from what they hang on the wall, the traditional looking houses, the family that looks very diverse. Like in Colombia, like you don't actually have to play diversity. Like we are diverse, you know? So like, they don't have to pay like the black cousin
together.
Right. Like they don't have to be like, we're going to make the cousin black. Like, no, your cousins are black. You know, so that's how my family is. And then also the, we're good to call?
Somebody asked if there's been any talk in Miami regarding an alternative option for Radio Mambí. Yes, there is.
Yes, El Americano Media.
Yeah, they are. There's more than one. There's more than one. I was in a meeting today where they were talking about basically like a conservative billionaire that's going to be investing money to buying into some of these to create, buying some of the remaining stations to remain control of them and also create opportunities for those hosts that were on these radio shows. I'm a regular on Radio Mambí these days, for those of you that
you never
don't
talk
know.
About that, which is kind of like terrible.
I really never talk about that, really, and
terrible.
I should.
You don't even tell me about it, which is terrible.
I'm on the Jorge on the Jorge show every not every day, but he calls me on at least twice a month, and you guys have no idea how proud I am of that. I call my parents all the time. I grew up listening to Radio Mambí. My parents listened to Radio Mambí. My grandmother listened to Radio Mambí. If my grandmother was alive right now and she knew that I was on the radio, like, you know, spitting my shit, she'd be so proud. So every time I go on, I'm like, baby Bella is so proud of herself.
This is great. All right, guys, I have really bad allergies. Like, so you guys know, I'm an allergic person, and I'm gonna blame this on the juice shots that children get. That's my theory. Allie, you're gonna have a kid soon. We gotta talk because you gotta be informed about these things.
We're gonna bring
Anthony, but
Mexican dad has to come on. We just gotta get him down to Miami first. But once we do, it's game over. That's gonna be like the most viewed special I think that we've ever had.
We love you guys. Thank you so much to everybody for coming. Please don't forget to share, like, and subscribe. We'll have the audio form tomorrow for sure. And we'll see you next time.